Great to be here. So I'm wanting to speak to you today about becoming an apostolic church and people. This is a continuation of a sermon that I started 2 weeks ago. If you remember, we cut that sermon short because we went out to do some action. We couldn't stay in these four walls any longer. We had to get out on the street because we are burning to get on with the purposes of God in our generation. And so hopefully we'll be sharing a little bit about that a bit later, about what actually happened. The question is, and that we were looking at then, because we were actually looking at, how do I find my place in the church and the kingdom? Well, today we're looking at how do we become an apostolic church and people. Do you know what the word apostolic means? It's not a kind of word we use nowadays. The word apostolic means the one who is sent. So on the move, someone who's going somewhere. So when we speak about wanting to become an apostolic church and people, we want to be those who are on the move, getting on with the purposes of God in our generation. Which certainly means relocating at times and certainly means impacting our neighbors. So that's what we want to speak about today. And I remember we read from Ephesians chapter 4, 11 to 16. So Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and the teachers to equip his people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. In other words, God has given gifts to the church to get the people of God moving, to get us in on the purposes of God in our generation. So in every generation, God gives these gifts of evangelists, pastors, teachers, prophets, and apostles to be able to stir the people, stir us to get on with what he wants to do in our generation. And so that's a wonderful stirring that God is doing. God is about it. It's not just us. It's not our fine ideas. It's about God and what he wants, and he's going to make sure he does it. And you remember I shared with you 3 points last time. What are the works of service that God has called us to do? What are the things that get in the way that cause me to miss my calling in God? And thirdly, how does my life personally relate to the calling on the church, the local church? How does it relate to the movement of churches that we're a part of? And how does it relate to the global mission of the global church? So how do we fit with these things? And that first point we looked at, what are the works of service that God has called us to? And we said that everyone has a place. Everyone has something to serve in. Because actually, Jesus Christ is Lord of all reality, which means he's Lord of your workplace. He's Lord of your family. He's Lord of the city council. He's Lord of the school class that you're in. In other words, he's Lord of everywhere you are, and you're his agent. You're there because he's placed you there, as the Bible says, as his ambassador in that place. So all of us are involved. It's not just the guys who are running churches or planting churches. Every single one of us, no matter who you are, what you do, you have a place in the purposes of God. And that's partly because all of us are at war. All of us are part of the army of God. And you remember we spoke about D-Day and V-Day, how God has won D-Day. And Jesus Christ, 2,000 years ago on the cross, won the victory. But now there's definite work to do. There's mopping up operations because we've got to get to Berlin and we've got to defeat Hitler. We've got to, in our terms, we've got to get to complete the work that Christ has begun. So we're part of that. We're part of the army of God. None of us are civilians. We're all soldiers, and we're advancing on 2 fronts. Number one, we're advancing by planting new churches to regions beyond. Paul speaks about wanting to the Romans. He says, I want to go to regions beyond you. I want you to help me so I can go to regions beyond you. Places which have never heard the gospel before. And we said, actually, from this church, we've actually sent some people into regions beyond. Krista Johansmeyer, she's in Tajikistan, in a place where people don't know the gospel. she's sent there. But there are other ways that we've gone to regions beyond, and I'm going to speak about that a little bit later. But also, we've called to be salt and light where we are. So whether you are a banker, or you are a student, or you are a housewife, or you are a teacher, whatever you do, whatever you put your hand to, you're called to be salt and light, to show those around you the gospel. And we spoke about even in our society right now, which is so full of racism, so full of people shouting at each other and saying horrible things about each other. We are there as salt and light. I listened to the radio. It's Day of Reconciliation on Friday. And on Thursday, I was down in Durban, and I was listening to the radio, SAFM, and they were having a debate about these things. And there was one person who phoned in, and he said, where are the white people who actually have come to reconcile with us as black people? Where are they? I can't see any evidence of them in his experience. And I just thought to myself, yeah, that's true. They're not in the media. Nobody reports about that. Nobody, you know, but yet we're living it. We're living here in this community. We've got stories to tell. Things that God has done in our hearts, in our lives. There are actually so much good stuff that's going on. But, you know, it's not the kind of thing that makes the headlines. Good stuff doesn't make the headlines. It's the bad stuff that makes the headlines. But that's part of being salt and light. We want to live out the gospel. When others are speaking badly about someone else, we step in. We say, no, that's not right. It's not my experience. I love, you know, whatever. You bring the truth of the gospel to bear on those circumstances. Okay, so secondly, then we said, what are the things that get in the way that cause me to miss my calling in God? And I said, if you're from a rural background, family tends to get in your way. And that's not to say that family is evil. Family is good. And you're called to look after your family, absolutely. But is family higher than the purposes of God in your life? If God had to ask you, please relocate to Harare to help a church plant, would your family stop you from obeying the purposes of God in your generation? And we also said that actually people coming from that background often need to hear the word of the Lord in Luke 14:25, which says, shockingly, if anyone comes to me and does not hate his father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, even his own life, such a person cannot be my disciple. And whoever does not carry their cross and follow me cannot be my disciple. Harsh words from Jesus. And he's not literally saying you must hate your father and mother, but he is saying, I must be first. I must be first in your life. And when I'm first in your life, actually, your family will be blessed. Actually, they'll be in the right place. They're not God in your life. I am God. And if you're from an urban background, we spoke about the allure of financial independence. Again, it's not that saving for the future is wrong or evil. Actually, Christians started insurance companies. It was Christians because they wanted to care for many people. But if that comes first in your life, if saving for your retirement one day is the thing that stops all other decisions and everything else is in the light of that, then it's become an idol in your life. And it's more than what God is calling you to. And God is calling you to come free of that. And so you might want to hear Matthew 6:24, which says, no one can serve two masters. Either you'll hate the one and love the other, or you'll be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. You can't. You can't do it. So either you're serving God or you're serving money, one or the other. So many of us on urban backgrounds, we need to hear that. And we need to be changed by it so that we are available for the purposes of God. And then we also spoke about church leaders and the attitude of church leaders sometimes and the temptations as church leaders that actually, the people are there just to populate our programs, the things that we're doing, the things that we're putting on. And they must come along to them and populate them. And also people are there to be led, not empowered. And so many of us have experienced that in churches that we've gone to. Maybe you come to us from a different church, maybe from a different city you're visiting, and that's your experience of church, that actually I'm just there to fill, be in the pew and contribute towards the pastor's salary. Well, that is not the view of the church that is expressed in the Bible. And that, again, we need to look at Ephesians 4, that actually the pastors and teachers and those who are employed by the church, but also those, particularly those who are gifted, are there to empower the people of God to get on with the work of God, the work of the ministry. And so all of us need to be on the move together. So finally, then we looked at how does my personal call relate to the local church, to relate to the family of churches we're a part of, relate to the global church. And this is really what I want to focus on today, because we touched on this last time, but we didn't really get into it. I spoke to you about Operation Overlord, the Battle of D-Day. Operation Overlord was the biggest military operation in the history of the world. It involved 3 million men, and I was reading a book on this, and I felt God start to speak to me about the church and the role of the church in the world today as an invasion force and getting ready to be an invasion force and what it takes to prepare to invade the world around us, to see the kingdom of God come to bear upon the people who are in our lives. And so Operation Overlord, you might have seen Saving Private Ryan. Have anyone seen the movie Saving Private Ryan? Terribly gory movie, but incredible. In fact, my parents have a friend who was there at D-Day, and when he watched that movie, he said it was exactly like that. And so incredible movie if you can stomach it, but of what the guys went through. 3 million men prepared to advance on Europe because Hitler and the German army were on the beaches of France. They had occupied France and Britain, the UK, Canada, South Africa, Lesotho, Zimbabwe, many other nations that joined in the fight on the Allies' side were trying to get back into Europe. They wanted to get across from England, across onto the continent and then defeat Hitler. And so they had these 3 million men. For 2 years they prepared and they were drilled with one vision. As one German soldier says, what we want to do is defeat Hitler and get the hell back home. That's what they were. They were all clear. We want to defeat Hitler. They weren't going for anything less. They were sure about what they were up to. They trained for 2 years while the Germans got lazy on the beaches of Normandy. They also had operational pillars. You can imagine how much it takes to move 3 million men. How many boats, how many trucks, how many, you have to prepare for that stuff. How do you feed 3 million men every day when you're at war and you've got to get the food across to them? So those were the operational pillars that undergirded the invasion force to make it happen. And then they had a theater where they operated in, and that theater was in Western Europe. There were also people fighting in Italy, in North Africa, and Southern Europe. They were also fighting across in Russia and in the Pacific Ocean. But these guys, their theater was Western Europe. We're going to take Western Europe, and we're going to get through to Berlin and defeat Hitler. And then they had areas in which they operated. So within the theater, they had specific areas they had to operate in. Either they had to take a particular beach or they had to go and drop behind enemy lines to blow up bridges or so on. And then they had objectives to take the area. So blow up a particular bridge so the German tanks can't come through. Or, you know, storm the beach and destroy the machine gunners on the beach so that other guys with boats can come through. So they had objectives and they had actions to achieve those objectives. So specific actions that specific units had to do to achieve those objectives. And then they had units. And those units, as we said last time, units can be any side. It depends on your objective. If you want to take a beach and there are 10,000 Germans fighting against you on the beach, well, you better have a battalion of 120,000 men to storm that beach. Otherwise, you're not going to take it. But if you're just blowing up a particular bridge or a particular gun emplacement and you just need to go and lay a couple of charges, well, maybe three men will be sufficient for that. So it doesn't matter the size of the unit. It depends on the objective. And we'll see how that applies to us in the church. And so those are the elements of an invasion plan: a vision, training, operational pillars, theater, areas, objectives, actions, and units. The vision really determines why are we doing this, and everyone must understand that. If you go into battle and you don't understand why you're there, you're going to forget why you're there, and you're going to become useless pretty quickly when the going gets tough. So the vision answers the question why. Training and operational pillars answer the question how. Theaters and areas where we're going to be operating. Objectives and actions of what and when. And units, who does it. But let's think about Grace Gen and what we're up about right now. And so our vision, what is Grace Gen's vision? Well, when we were doing this exercise initially, we asked ourselves two questions. What is God most passionate about? And secondly, what can we be best in the world at? So, Colleen, what is God most passionate about? Saving the lost, yes. Anyone else? Okay, let me tell you what we said. The Father is passionate about having a bride for His Son drawn from all nations. That's what the Father is passionate about. The Son is passionate about having a family for His Father drawn from all nations. And the Spirit is passionate about glorifying the Father and the Son in building a family from all nations. So if that's what God's most passionate about, how do we get in on that? Well, we said to ourselves, well, we can be, so that's what we said, we are joining the Father through the Son by the power of the Holy Spirit in building God's passion to build a family from all nations. And where can we be best in the world at? Well, we can be best in the world at being a multicultural church community of the Word and Spirit in Pietermaritzburg, reconciling a generation to the Father through the good news of God's grace. And so that's why the name Grace Generation has come about, is that we believe that we want to raise up a people who understand the grace of God in this next generation and who can communicate that to others. And part of that grace is the grace to be a people from many tribes and nations and language and tongue. It's such a privilege that we have that, and we celebrate that. We are countercultural in this church because the culture right now, particularly in political structures where it's convenient to be saying things about pointing fingers at all sorts of other groups, countercultural says, no, all of us belong. All of us belong to God. God loves all of us. He wants a people from every tribe and language and tongue. And we not only resent that, we celebrate that. We love it. We love our cultural diversity. We love, as Tutu said, the rainbow people of God. That's what he called South Africa. And we still resonate with that vision that God would have in this nation, which has been so divided, a people from every tribe and language and tongue worshiping and loving and go about His purposes in their generation. And so what is our training? What is the training that we've had in this church? Well, we've had lots of training. We've had our generation earlier last year. We've had the joining course, which many of people have been on. Preaching every Sunday is a form of training. It often equips us and trains us. We've done parenting courses in the past. We've done the Africa Leadership School that others did, a couple of us did last year. And so on. There are many opportunities for training in this space. A lot of what we call church is actually training in this space because we're very good at training. And then the operational pillars. Well, all of those things are operational pillars, which we've said, family nights, encounter meetings, Kingdom Kids, prayer. Kingdom Kids is also actually evangelism often as well, but it's equipping our people to go out there. Church office, youth, so on, deacons, so on. Those are the things that undergird our invasion of Pietermaritzburg. And so when I say, what is our theater? Well, our theater is generally the eastern part of South Africa. Because actually we've had reach as a church into Lesotho. We've had reach as a church down to the Eastern Cape. We've had reach up to Maputo in Mozambique. We've had reach to Newcastle. We've had impacts in all of those areas. So kind of our area is the right-hand side of Southern Africa. Maybe a bit reduced than that, but we're hoping it's going to grow. But that's our theater of operation, and our areas, really more specifically, what we're called to is, in Grace Gen, is reaching out to Pelham, Oribe, students, those infected by and affected by HIV/AIDS. Those are the things that we really actually get on with. The objectives in terms of those are to reach a new generation of students, which is why we've got a student work. Fathering the fatherless is something that we've resonated with as a church. And establish a parish in Pelham. What I mean by parish in Pelham is I would love it if anyone in Pelham who's getting married or is having a funeral thinks first about this church to come in and bring all of their family and relatives. Because we want to be there for these people who are around us. That people in that school across the road there think first when they need the church, they think about us. Because we've got involved in their lives. We've run parenting courses at their school. We've supported orphans there or whatever it might be. That's what I'd like. That's what we would all like, is that we are a parish in Pelham. That this community thinks of us as the people who are there for them. That's really what we're wanting to do. And so the actions towards that, well, we had a spring braai. We invited the whole neighborhood earlier this year to come to the spring braai, and we dropped leaflets and we invited people. We've also had a neighborhood cleanup in the past. I remember when we first moved into this building, I went up to the cafe up there, and one of the guys said, and I can't remember how I was interacting with him, but he essentially said, "You're the guys who pick up all the papers around here. Thank you." And he was the shop owner. He just thanked us. We've done prayer walks. We've done treasure hunting. Our generation, we've got everyone out on the streets. And the other week, why we cut the sermons short was because we wanted to get out there and do these things. We went out to just outside the shopping center, Scottsville Mall. And we went on the street and we were inviting people. We were saying, "Hey, do you want to be prayed for?" This time, so that was last time. This time, I happened to be going on the street and I went up to a guy. I said, "Is there anything I can pray for you?" Which is my normal line. And the guy said, "No, actually, there's nothing." I said, "Oh." And he said, but don't you recognize me? I said, maybe. And he said, "Well, actually, last time you came and you prayed for me." And he said, I had piles, if you remember, and you prayed for me. I said, "Oh, yes, yeah, I remember." He said, "Well, I got healed." And I said, "What? You got healed?" And he said, "Yes, thank you for praying for me. I got healed." This guy's a taxi driver who operates just outside the entrance of Scottsville Mall. Another guy I went up to, I said, "Can I pray for anything?" And he was carrying a six-pack of beers in his hand with his mates. And he said, "Actually," and he had that look about him, you know, of having drunk a lot of alcohol in his life. And he said, "Actually, you can. I'm a slave to this, and I want to be free." I was like, "Okay, we could pray for that." And he put the beers down, and one of his mates picked it up, and I prayed for him that he would be free. Because he's in bondage, as many of us are, to things. Many people are people of bondage because they can't get free, and they know it. And he's messing up his life. And those were his words: my life is a mess. Another taxi driver, he was sitting in the back of his taxi, and I went and I just prayed for him. And he just said, my life is a mess, and I need help. I need a change in my life. I need God." And I just prayed for him. And many others prayed for people and had amazing encounters. But people are desperate for God. And we have the answer. And yet we sit in the church and we think it's church, don't we? We're going to church. We're doing church. We're sitting in these four walls and we think we're doing church. Actually, it's not. We're doing operational pillars, mostly, in here. And it's like a guy before D-Day who was a medic, and he's trained to bind people up, to, you know, do the kind of things that medics do. And in practice, he would have, you know, bound up lots of soldiers who were pretending to be wounded. But if that soldier never gets beyond just practicing and actually gets out on the front line and actually binds up real wounded people, it's pointless. Why did they train for 2 years? Pointless. No, you've got, your training is to go. Your training is to be there and really help people who really are in need. That's what it's all about. So that's why we were getting out on the streets. Okay, so we have those things, and then units. Well, the units are of any size, as we said, according to what we're doing. When we're going on the streets, I had in my team for praying for guys just outside Scottsville Mall, healing on the streets, I had 5 people. There were 5 people. There were also 5 or 6 who went with Roseanne and McCorsey, and they did some treasure hunting. Masala took guys prayer walking around this area, and you had 5 or 6 or so like that side. So for something like that, you can do a small thing. Whereas if it's Spring Braai, it's actually all of us. So it's 200 and plus people to do that action, to achieve that objective. You see? So it doesn't matter. Maybe it's your cell group that gets on with something. But maybe it's also just 1 or 2 of you. Maybe David Lewire, who's going into the prison, he says to one of you, come with me. I want to go and preach in the prisons. Or you want to go and outreach to maybe in your workplace, one other person in your workplace is from this church. Maybe the 2 of you get together to pray into for a particular person in that workplace, whatever it might be. It doesn't matter the size of the unit. It's according to the objective you want to accomplish. Do you understand what I'm saying? Okay, so that's Grace Gen. So what about our church movement? Well, did you know that we're part of a church movement? You may not. I'm going to introduce you to that today. So our church movement is about, in fact, we as a church, let me give you some history here. We were part of a movement called New Frontiers, which was run by a guy called Terry Virgo. And Terry Virgo, a couple of years ago, felt in God to dissolve his movement and allow other guys to start up other movements. Guys that he trusted, and he recommended a number of guys, about 16 guys, to the churches, which were a couple of hundred churches around the world, and said, these guys are, I believe, are emerging apostolic gifts. Won't you kind of connect to them? And in here in Southern Africa, 3 movements have emerged. One is called Regions Beyond. Regions Beyond is run by a guy called Steve Oliver, who's very apostolic in his approach to things. And I'll tell you a little bit more about that. And then the other is called Advance. And Advance is run by a guy called PJ Smythe. And we have connected in with Advance, and I'll tell you a bit more about that. And then the third is another movement, which is up in Zimbabwe and Mozambique and Malawi. And that is run by a guy called Scott Marks, who's also a friend of ours. And he's running a whole group of churches up there. But all of these movements, all of them have the same DNA. We want to plant New Testament churches in regions beyond. We want to go where they're not New Testament churches or where there is a weak witness of the church, and we want to plant healthy New Testament churches. So that's the vision. And how do we get there? Well, there's plenty of opportunities for training, and they're operational pillars. So let me just tell you, show you a little bit about what we've just been involved in, Roseanne and I. So we've just been to a place called Maseru. We went to Maseru last week. Was it last week? We went there to help train the people in this church. Maseru, in a place called Sea Point in Maseru. And it's a small church, but it's a church that has many other churches looking to it. Because there are quite a number of churches that they've planted in the mountains of Lesotho. Pete had a word some years ago that he would see Lesotho covered like a fire on every hill and every valley in Lesotho. And so these guys are out there faithfully plugging away to see the kingdom come to bear, not just in the big city of Maseru. Pete and Joe had been used by God some years ago for a real revival among villages in rural Lesotho. And so that we were there just to assist them, to help lay foundations in that church. That church doesn't have eldership yet. It has quite a lot of needs. It's not a wealthy church. But God is on the move, and we came and brought some gifts that we have to bear upon them. And actually, they want more of us to come. So one of their great needs is they want to reach into the campus at the University of Maseru. And so they want a whole team to come from Grace Gen to assist them in reaching out and getting a campus ministry going. So I just thought, fantastic. We've been starting to do that ourselves. And why don't we get a group of our people to go there and to be part of that? They also struggle a lot with HIV/AIDS, in that nation as a whole, and they could do with great expertise from CCP, coming there and doing a team and helping them to establish something along those lines. So they are a new church, or it's only been going about 5 years, but they really need assistance from us. Okay, so that church is actually part of the movement called Regions Beyond, which is we have friendship with. And Paul Simpson down in Harding and the guys, about 20, 25 churches down in the Eastern Cape that are associated with Paul is also part of Regions Beyond. I am on the Regions Beyond Ephesians 4 team. And another thing I didn't mention is that they are really keen to get agriculture going, farming God's way. And I've already spoken to our resident farmer in that regard, Dave. But there are so many things in this church, so many skills, so many abilities here in this church that many other churches need and desire and want. And so the question is, how do we get in on those? Well, another amazing movement that we're actually a part of is called Advance. So officially as a church, we are a part of Advance, the Advance family of churches. And I want to tell you a little bit about them because I don't think a lot of you know about them. Who knows about Advance? Just a few of you know about Advance. Okay, I'm going to tell you about them. You know, when the Moravian missionaries went out and left mostly Britain to go and sell themselves into slavery, they said that they called back to their family and friends standing on the pier. They would call back, "We go to win for the Lamb the reward of his sacrifice." And they sold themselves into slavery so that they could reach those who are part of the slave trade. So the amazing sacrifice that these people made. And that's really the heartbeat that is behind this family of churches. So here in this church, maybe in years to come, people will go from here and plant churches in Peru or in Lesotho or in, you name it, Dar es Salaam. Maybe you'll be part of something there because there are churches that are growing as part of this advanced movement and also part of Regions Beyond that need help and need us to be involved in it. So if we look at Advance, there are 117 partner churches, and you can see the spread of those churches. 46 are in Africa because that's kind of where the Advance movement has started. But they're starting to spread in different parts of the world. There are a couple of churches that are kind of exploring partnerships. Other churches are actually partner churches. In other words, they are established churches, and other churches are church plants. So new churches, kind of just less than 3 years old or just getting going, Those are the kind of churches that are currently part of the advanced family of churches. But there are a whole lot of church plants even happening here in South Africa. So, or in Africa. So down in Langa in Cape Town, there's a Common Ground is planting a church into Langa Township in Cape Town. Jubilee Community Church is planting into the center of the city. I was there just a few weeks ago, went to visit that congregation. Lex Loizides is leading that. It was wonderful to see what they've done. That is in itself an amazing story. That was the former Baptist church, and that church was planted in the 1800s by a couple of missionaries who came out from the UK to plant that Baptist church. And then from there, they went on to plant a church in Wynberg called the Wynberg Baptist. Now, Wynberg Baptist eventually became a charismatic church under a guy called Graham Ingram and became Vineyard Fellowship. And Vineyard Fellowship then became Jubilee Community Church, and I'm sure you've heard of Jubilee Community Church. Now, Jubilee Community Church, 2 years ago, was approached by the elders or the leaders of that little church in Cape Town, that Baptist church, to please come and help to take over this church. And so Jubilee Community Church, in many ways, well, Jubilee was planted in 1800s by the same guys who planted that church. Do you see that? So now they've reached into the center of Cape Town. They've done up the building. They've put in a couple of million into that building. And it's a vibrant church in the center of the city, church that had been dying, had been getting smaller and smaller and smaller and older and older and older, is now full and vibrant. And in fact, they don't have enough space. After just a couple of weeks of going, they are jam-packed. They're over 200 members already, and they don't have enough space. And so they're looking to expand the building already. So really exciting. Other churches that are around us in Midrand, the guy God First Churches are planting. Jacques Adamo is planting out. In Braamfontein, there's also been a plant into kind of the inner city in Johannesburg. There's a plant that's happening in Madagascar. There's a particular family that has moved to Madagascar and is calling for people, please, to come and help them in Antananarivo, which is the capital city of Madagascar, to see the kingdom come to bear upon that. In Burundi, there's a church being planted right now. In Burundi, I'm not exactly sure, but Sheshi, who went, Sheshi was part of God First Church in Johannesburg. He went to plant a church in Tanzania, in Dar es Salaam, which is still going, and now they're looking to plant into Burundi already, which is very exciting. And there's another group of guys who are starting to plant into Nairobi in Kenya. So that's just South Africa, the opportunities that we could have of being part of church planting as a part of the family of churches. But there are other parts of the world as well that church planting is happening. So I want to ask all of you to do some actions in terms of this. Number one, do you receive this magazine from Advance in your email inbox? Do any of you get it? So the first thing where we really need help here from the church office is, church office people, where are you? Louise, please, can anyone who wants to sign up to get the Advance magazine, can they sign up? And can it be sent to them when it comes through? It comes through just about once a month, maybe a bit more, less often than that. But it's really an amazing, what I'm showing you is the Advance magazine. To help us to start to pray. This latest edition was about prayer and how do we get prayer going? Because prayer is the fuel that gets us going, that gets us seeing what God is up to and getting in on what He wants to do rather than involved in our little lives and our little problems. So we really want to be a people of prayer and who are advancing in all the earth. And I've showed you that. There is another way in which you can participate. and that is in giving. And this church, part of this offering that we've been taking up this month is actually going towards Advance, going towards our partnership with the Advance churches. You can see their income, but you can see the breakdown of their income over the past year or so. And you can see that everything goes towards church planting, either directly or indirectly. It goes towards planting. And you can see that graphic on their website. And so really God has called us, and as I say, some of us are also part of reaching out to through Regions Beyond, which is also a movement which is part of the same family. Many of us have actually been involved in Regions Beyond churches. When you've gone down to Harding or on a team to the Eastern Cape, to Mahenga, which is a township outside Port St. John's, those are now part of Regions Beyond, those churches that we were involved in, which is also really exciting. But the thing is that God has called all of us to participate in some way with reaching out. And so these theaters, these areas are different according to the different movements that they are part of, the objectives, the actions that they fulfill, the units, but you can become part of a unit. Even if it's a short-term thing that you can do, you can become a part of a unit, or you can, a long-term thing, you can partner in prayer or in giving and so on. So that's the church movement, and I've tried to paint the picture of what actually is happening, because I think in this church, we don't generally know what's been happening, but we're actually part of this amazing, exciting movement that is churches going and planting in different parts of the world, and we want to increase our partnership with them in years ahead and get ourselves, who are really well equipped, out into the mission field. So thinking about the global church, okay, the same things are true. Well, the vision comes from God the Father, who is out to get a people for himself from every nation. And how this impacts upon us is actually in this city, for instance, we went on a march. When was it? When was that big march? About September. It was just before the elections. So the Christians in this city got together to march to call for peaceful elections in the city. And so we can partner with others in the church around us. And we can be part of, we don't have to just stick to our church or just stick to our movement. We can be partnering with other church movements and other peoples. And in fact, we're quite a prophetic house. And we have good relationships with a number of movements, with NCMI, with the guys down in Glenridge, because Drew planted a church out from us. We have partnerships and relationships with many, and we want to maintain that. And I do believe God is doing that in this generation, is he's allowing us to flow between movements and partner together. And when there's something that is a united action, we take it together in the city, or in the particular region or area that we stand in. African Enterprise, who we have good representation in this congregation. Gary Almeida, I don't know where he is, but he is here somewhere. Can't see him. He's teaching the Kingdom Kids. Gary is heading up African Enterprise in this city, and in South Africa, actually, I think he heads up certainly the African Enterprise Center. African Enterprise, their whole mission is to get the church on mission to reach the cities of Africa. And we have the privilege of many of those people right here in our church who have an amazing resource, who are an amazing resource for that kind of thing. And so in terms of the global church, we can partner with church planting movements. We can partner, maybe, like when I was a child, I went to Scripture Union camps, which is a worldwide movement. They brought me to God in a big way. You know, those are things that we can have big hearts towards and partner with in doing the work, and so on. I think you get the idea. There are actions that can be done units. We can participate in units to get certain actions done, to get certain objectives accomplished, to take certain areas in the church. And finally, my last point. Okay, how do you guys fit in? How do you personally fit into all of this? Well, we apply the same thinking, really. So let's think about someone who is a worker in the municipality here in Maritzburg, but he or she is part of Grace Generation Church. What is the vision that they are part of? Well, they may have a personal vision that God has given them to make an impact in their particular area. Maybe they are passionate about the particular area that they are involved in the municipality that they put their hand to. I told you last time, in my own business, I'm passionate about Africans telling Africa's story, that I would be a voice to Africa and Africa to the world. Many of you will have personal visions that God has given you. He's given you a vision. He's spoken words over your life in the years gone past. Maybe you've written some of those words down. Maybe you've just remembered them and they keep coming back to you. Words that God has spoken over your life. Maybe personally, you might have a vision. And if you don't, ask God for one, because God is in the business of getting all of us involved in some part of His kingdom. And then there's training and operational pillars that undergird the training and help us to take action. So let's think about that municipal worker. Probably that person went to university to prepare to be a municipal worker. Probably in their place, they are supported by their workplace to actually do the job for which they're called to do. But actually, God's got them also there on a bigger mission, and that's about advancing His kingdom. And so the church becomes someone, the agent, the local church, Grace Generation, the agent to help equip them to be on the front foot, taking every opportunity they can in the workplace. Maybe someone's mother has just died, their colleague, and maybe that colleague has been gossiping about the person, Our Lady, and she knows it. But when the mother dies, she goes and says, "Oh, I'm so sorry to hear. Can I come to the funeral? What can I do?" She gets in there and she helps, and she's salt and light right there with that colleague. You see what I'm saying? So those are things that can be done, and we are equipped in terms of that. But also, obviously, there's outreach into certain areas, certain theaters, and wherever your work might take you. As I told you, my work takes me all over South Africa generally, but it also, we reach out, we actually sell stuff all over the world. And so there might be areas that God gives you reach into that others don't have reach into at all. Maybe that municipal worker has the ability to get into certain communities in the city that no one else can get into, just because they are kind of, well, strategically placed. I remember not so long ago, there was one of our people who was doing work in a squatter community down the other end of town. And Ethel actually was also had a real heart for the kids in that squatter community. And so God can use those things and pull them together. And so then there are units. Perhaps you want to pull others in to assist you. I know that when my business is in trouble, I always call the elders. Please come and pray in my business. And every time they've done that, there have been major changes in what's happening in our business. Because the elders realize we're on mission together. We're not just concerned about what happens in these four walls. If Gordon is having an issue in his business, or someone is defrauding him, or whatever it might be in his business, we want to go there and pray, because his business is a part of the outreach of this church, part of the advance of the kingdom of God. Do you understand what I'm saying? So all of these things fit together in this understanding of an invasion plan. We are an invasion force invading the society around us, invading the community around us. So in conclusion, here are some things that you can practically do. If you're from a rural area and you have a rural mindset which says your family is primary in everything, you need to change the mindset and say God is primary in everything and my family will be blessed if I put God first. And if you're from an urban mindset which says accumulation of wealth is everything, and if I accumulate wealth, that's the highest thing in life because then I can pass it on to my children, my children's children, and they can all be wealthy and I can escape trouble. Once again, God is asking you, put me first. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness and all these things will be added unto you. Both of those visions, putting family first or putting money first, is too small for your soul. It's too small to satisfy you. It's too small a thing. The sad thing is when you accomplish it and you discover you're still empty, as so many rock stars and movie stars do. You just have to pick up any You magazine or whatever and you see the misery in people's lives. People who have accomplished the vision of getting so much money that they don't know what to do with it and they're miserable as anything. Both of those visions are too small for us. We are called to a much, much bigger thing. I've been watching just recently a series of movies called The Hunger Games with Timothy, my son. What is so compelling about The Hunger Games is that there's a very ordinary girl who is used amazingly to transform a nation. And it's the kind of thing that we dream of, that God would use normal, ordinary things, and He does, to transform nations. Those are great stories. Well, the Bible and the history of the church is full of those stories. And you can be part of that if you will put God first. If you will put Him first in your life. Likewise, if you're a leader, it's about empowering others to get on mission. And so I want to encourage each one of us to do that. So let's pray together.